Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Lord. We thank you for your presence here. Lord, we need your presence here. We need your presence in our lives. We need your word. We need your direction. We need your guidance. We thank you for all the things you provide for us. Lord, I just pray that you'd open heaven for us today. And Lord, I pray that your word would flow into our hearts. Help us to receive what you have for us. Help us to understand it and help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How's everybody doing? Today is Communion Sunday. You probably noticed that, didn't you? So I'm going to start off talking about our prison system. In our prison system, a condemned prisoner is usually allowed to choose what they will have for their last meal. Some of their choices are pretty interesting. Gary Gilmore, who was the first man executed after the death penalty was reinstated in 1977, chose hamburgers, eggs, potatoes, and bourbon, which was smuggled into a cell. Well, if they knew about it, then maybe they allowed it. I don't know. Ted Bundy, a serial killer executed in Florida in 1989, refused the last meal, so he was given the standard death row final meal. Medium rare steak, over easy eggs, toast and jelly, hash browns, milk, juice, and coffee. Timothy McVeigh, executed in 2001 for his part in the 1995 bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, had 2 pints of mint chocolate ice cream. John Wayne Gacy, serial killer, had a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, 12 fried shrimp, French fries, a pound of strawberries, and Diet Coke. Anyway. A bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and 12 fried shrimp, French fries, pound of strawberries, and Diet Coke. Alan Lee Tiny Davis, who was executed in Florida in 1999, had a lobster tail, fried potatoes, 1/2 pound of shrimp, 6 ounces of fried clams, a half loaf of garlic bread, and a quart of A&W root beer. Walter LeGrand, who was executed in Arizona in 1999, asked for 6 fried eggs, 16 strips of bacon, 1 large serving of hash browns, a pint of pineapple sherbet, a breakfast steak, a cup of ice, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Coke, hot sauce, coffee, 2 packs of sugar, and 4 Rolades. One last time to experience one last gratification of the flesh, right? I would think since they got to where they were going, they spent a lot of time gratifying the flesh. Do you suppose that any of them gave thanks to God for their food? It wouldn't seem like it, would it? In our text today, which was in Luke 22:14-20, which I'm only going to probably refer to it here, the Lord Jesus Christ gathers with his disciples for his last meal. He does not have the privilege of selecting what he's going to have. But the meal he eats may be just the most important meal ever served. when we look at all the things, all the things that made up the Passover meal, there's only two of them really that we partake of, isn't there? I'm not saying anything against the Passover meal. They all have, all the elements have significance, and everything has meaning. But I was thinking about it, and two items especially, like the bitter herbs, which represents the suffering and the bitterness of being in captivity, and also the salt water, which represents the tears that they shed. We don't have that on this table, do we? Why is that? Because Jesus Christ took that from us. While the condemned prisoners on death row were eating their last meal for themselves, Jesus was eating his for others. He was eating his last meal for us. The meal that Jesus eats on the eve of his death is a meal that was designed by the Father to exalt the Son. It is a meal that preaches the gospel. It is a meal that displays the grace of God. It is a meal that signifies the creation of a new spiritual covenant between God and repentant sinners. That's an important word there, isn't it? Repentant sinners. That means we have to recognize the way we live, and we have to turn from it in our thinking and in our action. Do you suppose that those that were on death row, they got there over like that, they became that way overnight? No. It's probably a lifetime of doing things they weren't supposed to do. Jesus gave thanks. Did he give thanks for the food, for the wine, or did he give thanks for what it represents? I think mostly what it represents, although he would give thanks for it. And what does it represent? It represents our plan of salvation that he provides. But it also represents a way to commune. Commune. This that we partake of this morning and every first Sunday of the month, we call communion. It's a way to commune with the Lord now and forever. Communion is more than a meal. To commune is to converse, to interact, to fellowship, to spend time with one another, to be in agreement, to enjoy each other's company, to share hearts, to display love for each other. It's a relationship. And it isn't just showing love for him. It also shows his love for us. Back in Luke chapter 22, Jesus said, "With desire I have desired." It's a double use of one word, isn't it? With desire I have desired. That makes it more emphatic. It makes it bolder. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. It's all about a relationship that he wants to have with us and that we want to have with him. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Verse 27 says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." What does it mean to eat and drink of this unworthily? He mentions a few things in previous verses, starting in verse 17. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Verse 18, it talks about the divisions that are among us. Verse 19, it talks about the heresies. Verse 20 talks about self-deception. Verse 21 talks about selfishness and indulgence, drunkenness, and neglect of the poor. Verse 22 talks about irreverence and carelessness in protecting the sanctity of the church. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." What does it mean to regard iniquity in our heart? You know, when you first read that, it might have a tendency to scare you out of even wanting to partake of this, doesn't it? You know, is my heart right? Regarding iniquity in my heart, to regard, according to Strong's Concordance, means to approve, to respect, to look upon joyfully. To regard iniquity in our heart is something that we look forward to. Those things that we do, the sins. Hopefully nobody in here regards iniquity in their heart. Because the opposite of that, of course, is every time we do something wrong, it affects us. It hurts us. It causes us shame, and it causes us guilt. But we have a way of taking that to the Lord. That's not regarding iniquity in your heart. We're going to be giving an opportunity in a little while to examine ourselves. I'm going to read something by Charles H. Spurgeon. And he was referring to a verse in Song of Solomon 2:15. It says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. To take is to seize, to hold in possession, to take captive, to catch for our sake." Kind of like taking every thought in captivity, isn't it? Foxes are a metaphor for anything harmful. So take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. This is what Charles Spurgeon had to say about it. "A little thorn may cause much suffering. A little cloud may hide the sun. Little foxes spoil the vine, and little sins do mischief to the tender heart. These little sins burrow in the soul and make it so full of that which is hateful to Christ that he will hold no comfortable fellowship and communion with us. A great sin cannot destroy a Christian, but a little sin can make him miserable. Jesus will not walk with his people unless they drive out every known sin. He says, 'If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.' Some Christians very seldom envy their Savior's presence. Excuse me. Some Christians very seldom enjoy their Savior's presence. How is this? Surely it must be an affliction for a tender child to be separated from his father. Art thou a child of God, and yet satisfied to go on without seeing thy father's face? What? Thou, the spouse of Christ, and yet content without his company? Surely thou hast fallen into a sad state, for the chaste spouse of Christ mourns like a dove without her mate when he has left her. Ask then the question, what has driven Christ from thee? He hides his face behind the wall of thy sins. That wall may be built up of little pebbles as easily as of great stones. The sea is made of drops, the rocks are made of grains, and the sea which divides thee from Christ may be filled with the drops of thy little sins, and the rock which was well nigh wrecked thy bark, thy boat, may have been made by the daily working of the coral insects of thy little sins. If thou wouldst live with Christ, and walk with Christ, and see Christ, and have fellowship with Christ, take heed of the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Jesus invites you to go with him and take them. He will surely, like Samson, take the foxes at once as easily. Go with him to the hunting. The little sins, they add up, don't they? I heard a story once about a frog. I don't know if it's true or not. It's been disputed since then. But a frog in a laboratory experiment that was put in a beaker of water and put over a Bunsen burner at a very low temperature, the water was heated up. It ended up being cooked alive without struggling, without kicking, without anything. It was so subtle, and it happened so gradually that it was cooked alive without even knowing it. Peter said to be sober, be vigilant, for the devil walks among us seeking whom he may devour. We've got to stay on top of things, don't we? Those little things he brings into our life and into our heart or allows or tempts us with. Those little sins, those little foxes, we have to guard against them. And when they're there, we have to have them removed. How do we have them removed? We need heart surgery. We need to examine ourselves. We need to ask the Lord. We need to confess them to the Lord, and we need to ask his forgiveness and ask him to remove them and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Jesus says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I've cast your sins away from you. But he can't cast them away until we hand them to him, until we confess them. Paul says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I'm going to ask George and Bill to come forward and pass out the elements. And I'm going to invite you to take this time to examine yourselves. And it's something we all need to do. We know that, don't we? We need to bow our heads and close our eyes and talk to the Lord. Ask him to reveal things and confess to him that the things that have already been revealed. Thank you, Lord. Has everybody been served? Did we miss anybody? We good? 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this bread, and we thank you, Lord, for what it represents. And we gladly, joyfully receive it, Lord, and we gladly and joyfully receive you. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed, and we thank you for the cup that you provided, that, Lord, for remembrance of what you did for us. In Jesus' name, you may drink the cup.
I don't know which one of you is going first.
I'm just going to sing the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And I'll sing it in Hebrew.
Yevorech Adonai v'yishmerecha Yahweh Adonai panav elecha Vihuneka Isa Adonai Penavelecha Viasim lecha Shalom Yevarechacha Adonai V'yishmerecha Ya'er Adonai panav Helecha Vehunika Yisa Adonai Panav Helecha Veasem Lecha Shalom Veasem Lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace, and give you peace. Ve'asem lecha shalom, ve'asem lecha shalom. Amen.
this one about to go? Use the other one.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your gift of salvation. Lord, I just pray that you'd touch the hearts of each person here, Lord. Bless them and keep them. And Lord, go with us as we go about our day and bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That concludes our service for today. Thank you for coming.